Proceed when you're ready.
Okay. The police of the court. Again, I'm Reginald Barley. First time I've seen you on this court, Judge Atlee. Judge Fields, you had the last case that I had. And I've seen you a lot.
I've been around forever, so.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
Really?
Okay. This case involved, there's a single issue involved in this case. And that issue involved one piece of property. That piece of property being some property that was owned by my client, who was Hampton Jackson, prior to the marriage. After the parties were married, and about 3 or 4 years later, the family enlarged, and when the family enlarged, they decided they wanted to get another house. The only way they could get another house with his VA loan is that they use his former VA loan, which was utilized on the first house. So that being the case, they switched over, and when they switched over, credit levels, that is, income, were insufficient.
Mr. Barley, let me stop you right there. I can well appreciate the financial advantages for your client handling this the way that he did.
Yes.
But the law is pretty clear that there's, of course, a presumption that property is marital. Now, this particular property clearly was his property prior to the securing of the loan.
Yes, sir.
But once he did that, the law is also pretty clear that when you refinance and it becomes marital property.
We agree on that, Judge.
And okay, so given that, how's the trial court wrong as a matter of law then in doing what it did here?
Simply because once it became marital property, as the statute sets forth, and we're very clear, the statute sets forth that if it becomes marital property, that is solely by means of retitling it, it can become marital property, which is hybrid. That is. Hybrid property, whereas the party maintains the character of the property as it was prior to the retitling. And that's clearly set forth in the test that was described by this court.
Well, does your argument boil down to the trial court, or the circuit court here, since it wasn't a trial as such, but the circuit court here basically found that the evidence was unpersuasive in terms of being able to trace?
Yes, sir.
Well, isn't that a factual determination that we have to give a lot of deference to then?
That is true. The court has to give deference to that determination if there are facts to support the determination that was made by the trial court. In this instance...
Well, here the burden, though, is on you to present the facts that establish the tracing. So if the trial court or if the circuit court found that insufficient, how do we deal with that on appeal? We can't substitute our judgment for the circuit court as a fact finder, can we?
You cannot. However, what this court can do is review the facts in the case to see if they were sufficient and could not support the finding of the trial court in any way at all. And that's what we argued in this case. It's not a matter of some evidence being adduced at the trial to support the judge's finding. There was none. As a matter of fact, everybody was surprised when the court ruled. That it was untraceable. That's the assignment of error that we made in this case. And if we follow,
can I ask you on that? Because I mean, certainly, you expect in a situation like this, the trial judge is going to try to trace it if you ask him to.
Yes.
However, here you've got, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there wasn't a way to make the purchase of the new home without assigning some of the debt in the deed of trust when it's refinanced for the previous home that he had bought well before he was married to Mrs. Jackson. And so therefore, the new loan wouldn't have been approved if she hadn't been responsible for some of the deed of trust on the refinance loan on the property that we're discussing in the assignment of error. So once she becomes responsible in the refinance for, it's not clear how much of the deed of trust, but her name's on there just as much as his is, isn't that a factor that the trial judge considered and said, I don't know how to, it's all mixed up now?
Well, if this were a case in which there was evidence of commingling of this asset with other marital assets, here, it was completely segregated from all other assets of the marriage. They stipulated to that.
I thought there was some evidence that the from testimony that the wife had contributed financially somewhat to some repairs or something on this.
That is correct.
Well, isn't that standing alone enough to overcome a tracing situation?
No.
If the trial court, you know, believes that?
It could. However, that would be a factor for the court to take into consideration in determining what her interest would have been, whether those, as this court said, in the case of both Ron Von Raab and in the case, especially Von Raab.
But isn't the law that if you contribute to the asset, unless you can satisfy a burden to show that contribution does not increase the value of the asset, then the property becomes marital.
It becomes marital, a hybrid property. Yes,
a hybrid property. Right.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
And isn't that what happened here? There was evidence that she contributed financially, but no evidence regarding the effect on the asset.
That's correct. And so that being the case,
wasn't that your client's burden to establish that there was no increase in value in the asset then?
Which is exactly what he testified to, Judge. If you look at his testimony in this case, he indicated that there was no improvement, nothing. From the time that this property transferred, the only thing that it did was, the time that it transferred title, and that's it. Nothing else. Repairs don't necessarily relate to improvement or diminution of value or anything like that. We don't have any evidence of that. The only evidence that we have is that this piece of property was 100% that of the defendant, of the husband, but for the retitling it into both of their names. As a matter of fact, Judge, I submit that this is the very reason why the General Assembly created this different classification of hybrid property, so that where there are instances in which there is a retitling of property for convenience, or as in this particular case, so that they can obtain a loan, then it can be retraced back if you can retrace it. Here we know what the piece of property was, clearly.
Now, he testified that he paid the mortgage on this property solely from his separate funds.
Yes, sir.
Did she not? I'm a little bit confused on what she said. She said we both put $800 a month into an account, and we paid marital expenses out of there. Did she therefore testify that it was paid out of that account, or is that not correct?
That is incorrect.
Okay.
That is totally incorrect. They stipulated clearly. If you look at page 55, they clearly stipulated that.
So she agreed that it was paid, the mortgage for this property was paid out of his separate funds.
That is correct. And the only evidence came from him that the same mortgage that he had on this property prior to the retitling is the same account that he retained all the way on through. Absolutely nothing changed.
And the repairs were very minor.
They were very minor, to the extent that they didn't even constitute any kind of improvement in any way at all.
Did the tenant give testimony at the time?
The tenant testified in this particular case that in his 11 years in that piece of property, he never saw the wife.
Did he testify that the bathroom was actually a remodeling job?
He said that, but you have to look at that in the context of the fact that there were some damage and rotten tiles that had to be replaced. He may have characterized it as remodeling it, but the other testimony in the case is that it was merely repair, just as was the case of the heat pump. It was not replaced. It was not upgraded. It was merely repaired.
The record doesn't reflect which account the wife used to make these payments for repairs, whatever they were, does it?
No, sir.
So we don't know if it's from the joint account or her separate, some separate account that she had or anything, right?
We know from the stipulations that if she had used her monies for those repairs, that they would have gone into his separate account. We just don't know. There's no evidence in this particular case. We don't know if it was straight payment or what. We just don't know. We don't know whether it was one penny or $100,000.
Is there evidence in the record of where the rent proceeds were going?
There is no evidence that there were any written there were any proceeds.
No evidence that rent was being paid at all?
There's no evidence that the rent was even being paid at all.
What effect, if any, does that have on this case?
It makes it even more clearly that it was 100% the husband testified, as things were before. He contributed 100% from that separate account, whether they had come from the tenant or whether they had come from his separate funds. It was 100%. No difference in any way at all. My time is up, and I reserve 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Jeremiah York, and I represent the appellee, Crystal Jackson. And we are respectfully requesting that this Court affirm the trial court's ruling, specifically that the Wincroft property was marital and there was no tracing of any alleged separate interests. There simply wasn't any evidence, Judge. The only evidence is he owned it prior to the marriage, he deeded it to her, and that's basically where it stops. We don't know what the value of the mortgage was.
He testified that when he deeded it to her, it was not a gift. He was just doing it so that they could afford to buy a home for them to live in, a marital home.
He did, Judge, but I would submit that that contradicts her testimony. My client, Ms. Jackson, testified that as far as she was concerned, they repurchased it for what she said was the, quote, fair market value. They purchased that and the marital home at the same time. She recollects, and I was not trial counsel, so I wasn't there, but the record reflects that she recollects that the two closings were almost identical, and she purchased the fair market value. That's in there, in the record. So I would submit, A, it wasn't just for that, but as Judge Bryce said in her ruling, it was to, quote, share the debt, which would not have happened but for her taking her portion of the debt. And I also just want to point out that I think we're mixing terms separate account versus separate assets. The stipulation was that it was from a separate account. This was 15 years during the marriage where if he's paying the mortgage from an account, whether it's in his name or jointly, but they're from his earnings, which we don't know, it's not in the record, but presumably if any of it's from his earnings, well, then the decrease in equity is marital. And so at the very least, it's hybrid. And then the burden turns on Mr. Jackson to prove by preponderance of the evidence what exactly his separate interest is, and there was simply no evidence at all. This court has repeatedly held that the litigants have the burden to give the trial court the information they need to properly rule, properly classify, and value property, and that just didn't happen here. So they cannot now come to the court and seek redress for information that was not provided at the time of the trial. I would also point out that the tenant did testify that he paid rent. So it's marital income for a jointly titled. My client owned it just as much as Mr. Jackson. So that income is just as much hers as his. We don't know whether that was used to pay down the mortgage. That the record is devoid of. But he also did.
And if the record is silent as to where the Wint proceeds are going, whose problem does that become? Appellant's or your client's?
Well, Judge, to be honest, I think it's my client's. I would have liked it in the record that they were used to pay down the mortgage. I think there's some loose inferences. I think the trial court's entitled to reasonable inferences from the evidence. But I will concede that that's probably more my problem than Mr. Jackson's, that the record's devoid of that.
But how do we take the inferences at this stage?
Well, Judge, I think you have to give deference to the trial court as long as they're reasonable. For instance, the tenant testified, quote, I've had the bathroom, the main bathroom, redone. It was remodeled. It was actually falling apart, so I had to get that redone. I think it's a very reasonable inference that replacing a falling apart bathroom with a brand new bathroom increases the value of the property at least a little bit. I don't think you need to be an expert real estate appraisal or anything like that to make that reasonable inference, and I think that's what Judge Bryce did. So it's for 15 years, this mortgage is being paid down. We don't know how, but it's presumed to be marital because it's jointly titled. So if it was his separate funds, if it was from inheritance or money he had pre-married, the burden was on him during the trial to put on evidence that, yes, the mortgage was paid down $50,000, but it was...
So there was no evidence put on at trial even of his purchase price of this property?
Judge, we don't know what it was purchased for. We don't know what the refinance note was. The record's completely devoid of all that. All we know is that it was jointly titled. He owned it 15 years ago prior to the marriage, and that's basically what the court was left with. And I would submit to your honors that if he wanted the court to be left with more than that. The burden was on him to prove by preponderance of the evidence that this is my separate interest, whether via the Brandenburg case or however else. But as it's jointly titled, the presumption's there, and to rebut, you don't just get to say, well, I owned it before the marriage, so therefore it goes all back to separate property, because I do think it's unrebutted that she did at least contribute to the property. I do think there's a reasonable inference that it created an increase in the property value. And
at least there's no evidence that the property wasn't increased as a result of the remodeling. Is that a fair statement?
That's a fair statement, Your Honor. So I think this court has repeatedly held that you guys are not going to remand it back to the trial court because the lawyers at the trial level didn't do the job that they were supposed to do at that time.
We don't correct attorney error. We only correct court error.
Exactly, Judge. And I'm not going to say this was attorney error, but that was the time to prove a separate interest. You don't just get to point back and say, well, I owned it before I met her. So forget about the 15 years where there's a mortgage pay down, presumably, again, no evidence in the record of that, but a reasonable inference that for 15 years we know there's a mortgage, it's being paid. It's presumed marital, unless there's evidence before the courts stating otherwise, which there's not in this case.
So the two accounts, I mean, they paid nearly everything through separate accounts, other than that one joint account that they contributed to that was a joint account, and they paid marital expenses from that. But there's no indication in the record that the funds in his separately titled account were his separate property, as we look at separate versus hybrid versus marital property.
That is correct, Judge. The testimony is just that it was his account in his name alone. Where the money came from, we do not know. That is not in the record. But as Your Honors know, simply having an account titled in your name does not mean that it's not filled with marital property if it's, for instance, from earnings from throughout the marriage. And there was no evidence of any other separate property. And quite frankly, there wasn't even... he testified he paid for it out of his property, but the stipulation on 58 of the appendix just says that they paid their separate bills separately and their marital bills together. Well, again, I think it's a reasonable inference that a jointly titled debt could be considered a marital bill. Ms. Jackson certainly thought it was. So I would ask the court to affirm the trial court's rulings, and if Your Honors don't have any other questions, I will yield back my time.
Great questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. York.
Thank you.
Mr. Borley, you have your rebuttal time.
Judge, I would like to reiterate, as I indicated before, that the parties agreed in this case that things would be kept separate. The clear stipulation is there that each paid their separate and individual bills. That's what they agreed to.
Can I ask you on that to follow up on Mr. York's point that he just made? I understand they had separately titled accounts.
Yes.
Was the mortgage on this property that's the subject of the assignment of error paid for out of the same account that Mr. Jackson's paycheck went into during the marriage?
There's no evidence that his paycheck went as to which account his paycheck went into. We can't say, we don't know from the record of this case whether the paycheck was cashed, half went into, a portion of it went into the family account that they referenced, and the other half went into the other account, or if the income, if there was some from the rental Wincroft property, was used to pay the mortgage, and we don't even know if it was one penny. We just know it was 100% paid and taken care of, in this instance, by the husband, just as he did before the parties were married. And I want to point out the fact that they had been married for 4 years prior to the retitling of this property also. And so what it did was it shifted the burden back to the wife, simply because if we use the test from Robban, which it indicates, first we identify the asset, which was clearly done. The deed is in evidence in this case. Then the second thing is, can you trace it all the way back? And so it becomes incumbent upon the party claiming ownership in their separate property to trace it straight back to the source from which it came. That being the case, he testified that after the titling of the property, retitling of the property, he continued business as usual. That is the same separate account, which is segregated from, or separated, you have to use it in this context of the statute, that he always kept separate. He continued that business as usual. And so it was clearly traceable all the way back without any interruption or anything else being involved in anything at all. So from that point in time, the burden shifted to the wife. That is, it shifted under Robban and the statute that the General Assembly prepared. It shifted back to the wife. Look, this is what I contributed, which defeats traceability or creates an interest by her in this case, and that was not done.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Barley. Yes,